to Unity Presbyterian Church Online. This week in worship, Pastor Dana continues our series on Go with a look at going and including everyone. Let's listen.
You all may be wondering where I am right now. I'm actually in my living room recording our sermon. The passage of scripture that we'll be looking at this morning, it takes place in a living room. It's the story of Peter and Cornelius, and it takes place in Cornelius's living room where Simon Peter will soon become a guest. And before we dive into that part of the passage, the part where Simon Peter and Cornelius are sitting in Cornelius's living room, I wanted us to explore what happened in these individuals' lives that brought these two men together. What unfolded that brought these two men under one roof. And what was happening in each of their lives was that both of them had a vision. They had a visit from an angel. They had a vision from God, and God had given them very specific instructions. For Cornelius was in Caesarea when he had his vision. And during that vision, God instructed him to send his men to Joppa. To send his men to Joppa to go and retrieve a man named Simon Peter. Well, Simon Peter, you guessed it, he was in Joppa when he had his vision. And during his vision, he was told that he could go and kill and eat any kind of meat that he wanted. And Simon Peter was a little confused by this because he was a Jewish Christian. He observed Old Testament laws when it came to eating meat. And so the meat had to be clean, it had to be pure. And so as he was questioning and very confused by this vision, the angel also told him that anything that was made in the image of God was pure and that it was permissible to eat. About that time, God also told him that there was some men outside of the home where he was and that they were to take him to an individual's name or house named Cornelius. And so Simon Peter, he goes downstairs, and sure enough, there's men outside of this house, and they take him to Caesarea, and they arrive in Cornelius's living room. So Simon Peter and Cornelius are sitting in their living, or in Cornelius's living room, and they start to talk about the visions that they had. They share with one another what the angel had told them, what God had instructed him to do, and they try to make sense of those visions. Well, Simon Peter's vision is a little bit difficult to make sense of. Cornelius's vision, on the other hand, is pretty straightforward. In Cornelius's vision, it was very clear that God knew that Simon Peter had information that Cornelius was to have. And so he was to send his men to go and retrieve Simon Peter so that he could share that information with him. Well, Simon Peter's vision is the one that's difficult to make sense of. You know, why was God telling Simon Peter that it's okay to eat any kind of meat, that he didn't have to observe these Old Testament laws anymore? Why was God telling Simon Peter that? So as they try to make sense of this, we have to take a look at who Cornelius was. We have to look at Cornelius's background. Cornelius was actually one of Simon Peter's greatest adversaries. Simon Peter, as you know, was a Jewish fisherman. He was a front runner for Christ, a disciple of Christ. Well, Cornelius was a captain in the Roman army, the entity that fought tirelessly to destroy Christ. Going beyond that rivalry, Cornelius was also a Gentile. One of the greatest conflicts of the first century was the Jewish-Gentile conflict. Most of the early believers were Jewish Christians, and it was the Gentiles who served as the greatest barrier to spreading the good news of Christ. They fought against anyone who followed Christ, and they persecuted them. So most Jews would avoid Gentiles. Most Jewish Christians even thought that it was inexcusable to associate with Gentiles because they were regarded as unclean or impure. So this is where Simon Peter's vision starts to make a little bit more sense. Here Simon Peter is, one of the front runners for Christ, a devout Jew, and he's standing in the living room of a Gentile's home. And as he starts to make sense of this vision that he had in Joppa, he says, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but God accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. In that moment, while sitting in Cornelius's living room, Simon Peter realized what God meant, what he was saying to him in that vision, that all things made in God's image are pure. God was telling him that all people are good and pure and worthy of God's attention, that God was the Lord of all people, that God does not show favoritism, that anyone who has love in their heart and does what is right is acceptable and pleasing to the Lord. While this encounter between Simon Peter and Cornelius may have initially been an unforeseen circumstance, something that neither one of them would have ever foreseen taking place, it ended up having a life-changing effect on the both of them. What ended up happening in Cornelius's home that day was that a new chapter in Christian history was written, a new chapter where a Jewish Christian leader and a Gentile Roman army captain became friends as Cornelius converted to Christianity. Cornelius was actually the first Gentile who converted to Christianity. What happened that day was two men entered a home as adversaries, and they left as brothers in Christ. What unfolded in that living room was perhaps one of the greatest revelations of the first century. It was the revelation that in Christ, there is no separation. We're using the language from Simon Peter's vision, that all things, all people, animals, who are made in the image of God, are pure. What unfolded in that living room that day was the realization that there is no longer Jew or Gentile, for all are one in Christ. The Lord is the Lord of all people. The Apostle Paul wrote about this very thing. You probably remember that part of Galatians. It's a very well-known verse. It says, there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for all are one. That is the crux of our passage from Acts this morning, that God shows no partiality, that he is the Lord of all people, that God has the power and the capability to unite all of mankind. And for Simon Peter, he got to experience this uniting force firsthand as it made him brothers in Christ with someone he had thought was his greatest enemy and adversary. It's a reminder that in God's eyes, there is no partiality. We are all the same. There exists no barriers due to race, gender, economic status. There are no barriers due to political affiliation or religious beliefs or denominational preferences. And since there is no partiality, then there is a deep universal love, a brotherhood that unites all of mankind. When I left seminary and received my first call, I went to Western New York to serve a church. And so it was pretty close to the Buffalo area. And during that time, I volunteered with an agency in Buffalo called PATH. PATH is a nonprofit agency that works to eradicate human trafficking in the Buffalo area. This particular agency is a safe place where victims of human trafficking can come and find resources, or just anyone who has been exploited can come and receive counseling and care. There are all sorts of women who are involved with this agency. Some of the women were from the Buffalo area, and they had been involved in the prostitution ring in Buffalo. And once they weren't able to leave that prostitution ring on their own, then they sought out this agency for protection and care. Some of the other women involved with this agency were from other countries, and they had come there seeking asylum. Many of the women had been smuggled into the United States, and they had come to Buffalo thinking that they could easily pass over to Canada. And once they realized that they couldn't pass through the Canadian border, then they came to this agency to seek resources and to seek counseling. Each woman had a unique story, a unique life experience that had brought her to this point in her life and to seeking out this agency. Oftentimes when I was there, I would lead a Bible study with the women. And within the group of ladies that would participate in this Bible study, there were all kinds of religious preferences and cultural differences and language barriers. There were two women who were Muslim. One of them was from Pakistan, the other one was from Syria. There was one woman who was from the Congo, and there were two other women who were from the Congo, but they had been living in DC for quite some time. And then there was a woman that was from Florida. So there were people from all walks of life, various ethnicities, various ages, some pretty significant cultural differences. And like I mentioned before, some language barriers that we had to overcome. And in order to overcome those language barriers, there was translators at this agency. So for the three women who were from the Congo, there was a translator who would translate everything into French. And for the woman who was from Pakistan and for the woman who was from Syria, everything was translated into Arabic. And I remember leading this Bible study with them. And I would read the passage of scripture aloud in English. And the woman from Florida clearly understood this passage. But the other ladies, they would wait and they would listen for their translators to then translate our passage into French and into Arabic. And I remember just sitting there amazed and listening to the word of God being spoken in many different languages all at once, all in one sitting. I remember having this epiphany that the word of God is universal, that it reaches all people, that God speaks many different languages. And I continued on with our Bible study, and I spoke about how God is our protector, our refuge, our safe haven. And as I watched this being translated into different languages, you would watch the women nod their heads and just feel convicted as if they had felt this firsthand, just God being their protector and their refuge. During this time, the women would share various stories about their background, their life choices and experiences, and you would hear these horrific stories. But yet, it was the same message of how God showed up in each of their lives and was with them. We ended our Bible study, and again, I sat there and would listen to it translated into French and Arabic. And when we came to the end of our prayer, as we were holding hands, I said, and all of God's children said, amen. And you could hear all the women in their various dialects and their accents saying amen at the same time. For God, there is no partiality. We are all one. The Lord is the Lord of all people. God breaks down all barriers due to race, gender, ethnicity, political affiliation, or religious preferences. This is the same message that Peter was sharing with Cornelius that day as they came face to face in Cornelius's living room. This is exactly what Peter encountered during that exchange with Cornelius. He experienced firsthand the power of God breaking down the barriers that separated him from Cornelius. He experienced Christ uniting him with one of his greatest adversaries as they became brothers in Christ. The story of Peter and Cornelius, it's a story and a message about God's impartial and deep love that has the power to unite all of humanity. Now, included with this message about God's deep love for all his people is an admonishment. Nestled in this exchange between Simon Peter and Cornelius is an admonishment to carry this message out into our world. Acts chapter 10, verse 42 through 43 says, "He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." In these verses, Peter reminds us that as followers of Christ, we are commanded to preach, to testify, to witness to others. We are to witness to others about Christ, to go out into our world and tell others who Christ is. It's an admonishment to continue doing the work of Christ in and around this world. It's an admonishment to build relationship and community with all of God's people from all walks of life, just as Christ did, to love all people as Christ did, to make peace with all people because Christ did. Several years back, the Dalai Lama came to the United States and he toured all around our nation and visited a lot of different colleges and spoke about our need to increase human compassion all around the globe. During that tour, I was able to attend one of his lectures. And during that lecture on compassion, he said, "The human race lacks a sense of human compassion and overall lacks a general concern for one another. The human race divides themselves based on skin color, wealth, religion, education, and many more things." He said, "We could change the whole world if we just realized our oneness. If we just focused on the fact that we are all born into this world needing air to live, needing food to survive, that we all have hair on our heads." And he pointed to his bald head and he said, "And some of us have more hair than others." And then he said, "We are all human. And to look at our commonalities instead of our differences would increase our human compassion for one another, which would in turn change the whole world by uniting us." That's the same message that Peter experienced that day in Cornelius's living room. A message about a universal love, an acceptance, an inclusion for all people. This is the same message that Christ went all around the world preaching and teaching about. He went all around the world sharing a message of an expansive peace that has the power to unite all of mankind. Christ's mission was to reconcile the world, to create peace and harmony for all people. This is the same message that God has entrusted each of us with. As Christ's disciples, our mission is to go out into the world and to share this message with other people. And to be honest, we live in a day and age when this message is needed the most. Our world is in serious need of peace and harmony. We live in a day and age where Christ's message of peace and unity needs to be shared by all people and reconciliation truly sought after. Now is the time for us to follow in Christ's footsteps, where we share this message of peace and love with all people, where we work tirelessly to break down the barriers that divide us as a human race. Barriers due to race and gender, political affiliation, or a religious preference. And you can imagine what would happen in our world if we all lived and behaved like Simon Peter and Cornelius did that day. What would our world look like if we actually did what God asked of us? If we went to those places that God was calling us to go to? Even when those places are the most unlikeliest of places. How would our world change if we focus more on what unites us rather than focusing on what divides us? If we looked at our commonalities instead of our differences? Because at the very core of who we are. Once you strip away hair color and eye color and skin color and race and gender, at the very core of who we are all children of God. We are all made in the image of God. At the very core, that is what unites us as a human race. This morning, we are reminded that God is the Lord of all people. We're reminded that God shows no partiality, that he breaks down barriers of all kinds. We're reminded that through the power of Christ, we can all be united as one. This is the message entrusted with each of us, a message that we are now to carry out into our world and to take it to the most unlikeliest of places. Amen.
If you would like more information about Unity Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at www.unitypres.org or visit us on Facebook. This is the Unity Presbyterian Church Podcast. Have a great week.